The school runs largely over now, but we'll still try to keep it clean, because we're speaking to Professor Gerard van Heesten. He's a professor of Afrikaans and Dutch linguistics at Northwest University, but he's also South Africa's preeminent. He's the preeminent figure when it comes to the academics around swear words. He's literally a professor in swearing. He's so good at it. He's a professor. He even runs a research site. It's called Fluk.co.za. It's an ongoing project to collect South African swear words. And we're talking about bilingualism today. Bilingualism and swear words. Because if swearing isn't in your general nature, and I can totally respect that many people don't like to utter swear words and don't like to hear swear words. But there is a study coming out of the University of Vienna in Austria. It's in collaboration with researchers from South Africa and the UK. And they've been investigating the different emotional responses people who can speak more than one language, bilingual people, maybe even multilingual people, the different emotional experiences they have towards swear words in different languages. And of course, you can remember last week, the Minister of Defense telling Parliament, in an open session of Parliament, telling Parliament that South Africa gave Russia absolutely nothing. Well, nothing is playing. Eventually, we'll play something.
Honorable Mare, I agreed with almost everything you said today, except that, and I want your permission, Chair, to use the word Fokol. Because in my hometown, you know, Fokol means nothing. I will reiterate what I said. We put Fokol on that ship.
Professor Gerard van Heesten, Atandi Modise, talking to the Chair and addressing the Chair, saying that, Madam Chair, or Mr. Chair, that in my home language, I respond to the word F all differently, and my community has decided that F all is not a swear word. It simply means nothing. And it's quite timely that this would happen in our parliament when there's this research, this body of research coming out of the University of Vienna, that people who speak more than one language respond to different swear words differently. Good morning, Carol. A beautiful case study there. How timely is that?
Yes, it's a fascinating one. And of course, Lester, it's not the first time that the word has been used in Parliament, which illustrates to us that in those speakers' mother tongue, the word Fokol does not have the same emotional energy than, for example, in Afrikaans. And that's exactly what our current study is about. If you think about a word like donor, for example, in Afrikaans, it's quite harsh if you say, ek gaan jou donor, word. But if you say to someone in English, I'm someone going to donor you, then that's much softer for my ear, right? As an Afrikaans speaker, when somebody says that in English, I don't take that person seriously. And that is the center of the question. When you're speaking English and you hear an Afrikaans swear word, is that harsher? Is it softer? And the other way around, if you're Afrikaans speaker, is it harsher or softer? And this example of yours from Parliament clearly illustrates that point.
It's an ongoing study that you're involved with the University of Vienna, and also a comparative study in the UK. You're putting out a new questionnaire that's asking people, particularly if they are bilingual. And in South Africa, fortunately, we benefit from a culture of, if not bilingual, multilingualism. So what kind of questions are you asking people to respond in this questionnaire?
Yes, so first part of the questionnaire is exactly about swearing, and how do you find this word in your language in English compared to this word in Afrikaans. Of course, for that, we had to sit and find words that are very similar. If I can give you an example, let's keep this one, okay? God and God in Afrikaans and English. You know, they correspond with each other, and so that's an easy one to take. But when you move into the sexual domain, into the racist domain, et cetera, et cetera, you have to find words that are similar, that have the similar sound, that have the same number of syllables and so on. Now, of course, it makes it very easy for us in the sense that a large part of Afrikaans swearing vocabulary is based on English or is influenced by English, strongly influenced by that. So that made it easier. So that's part one of the questionnaire. Is how do you react to certain swear words? Then, Lester, we get to another section. And listen, since the questionnaire is still open for people to go and respond to, I can't say too much about it. But there it asks more, let's say, psychometric kind of questions. And I can't reveal now what our hypotheses are, but we want to link swear words to certain kinds of personalities, or see if it relates to certain kind of personalities. Just to give you an example, people often say, listen, it's only stupid people who swear because they don't have a rich enough vocabulary. Or, on the other hand, people say it's only truthful people who swear because they are honest about how they feel. To what extent can we really link swearing and swearing habits to things like truthfulness, to things like emotional regulation, etc., etc.?
I think it's fascinating. And Jadine Rondebosch maybe has a contribution here in how words mean different things, particularly if it's not your mother tongue. And I want to talk about the difference between mother tongue and first language in a short while. But Jadine Rondebosch says, "Hi, Lester. I grew up in English, and I use the word dwurs as in don't be stupid, don't be a dwurs. But my husband's parents are Afrikaans, so for them, it has a completely different meaning."
Completely. And especially, you know, so in Afrikaans, it has a lot of other meanings as well. As far as I know, in English, dwurs only means don't be a stupid person, don't be nasty. But in Afrikaans, dwurs has a lot of other connotations. And then, of course, when you use that word, it activates a lot of other things. It's not that the parents are necessarily more, let's say, conservative or more religious or things like that. That's not the point here. The point is the word dwurs in Afrikaans has a lot of other connotation that it hasn't got in English. If I can give you quickly one other example, I looked over the weekend at the word dawner. In the Dictionary of South African English. Now, I know from my friends, they use dawner predominantly as a verb in English. When they use a dawner in English, they use it as a verb. Like, I'm going to dawner you. But in the Dictionary of South African English, there's only the noun meaning that's retained in the Dictionary of South African English. And of course, then immediately you want to say, all right, let's investigate this. But it illustrates the point that not everything from the one language is transferred into the other language, which makes it a fascinating study.
Fiona is an English teacher, and she says, she's an English teacher, but she says, as an English speaker, the word dawner upset my pupils during teaching practice at Jan van Riebeeck. It's dawnder. Weer, not donder, donder weer miss, but seemed acceptable when used on the golf course in the Karoo.
so donder is of course the thing that's been used. That's the original word, and that refers to thunder, storms, and so on. But then it got transformed to donner, D-O-N-N-E-R. To mean, you know, that he's a donor, he's a nasty character, or I'm going to donor you. And then it's mostly spelled with double N-E-R. And that is, both of these spellings are accepted in the Dictionary of South African English.
What is then the phenomena of people who are, for example, myself, my mother tongue is Afrikaans. Mother tongue, I believe, largely is, very simplistically, it is what your mother scolded you as a child. Your home language, that is Afrikaans. But I am a person who went to an English language class, you know, since preschool. So I occupy the space of equally being English first language and having Afrikaans as a mother tongue. Does this affect any way how I perceive particularly swear words, or do I just find all swear words particularly naughty, but naughty in the good way?
So, Lester, that's the heart of our question, is to what, you know, where, how does this influence each other? We don't know the answers to that yet. The point is, and that is why we're working with international universities. To be fair, Eloise Boetes from the University of Vienna contacted us and said, listen, Afrikaans English bilinguals are such strong bilinguals. They're almost unique in the world because they are exactly the situation that you described about yourself. So let's investigate how they work, how their minds work, and then we can take it to other bilinguals. But we need to understand South African bilinguals first, because we've got such a unique situation here. You know, Lester, we're for many years almost woke about language in this country of ours. You know, there's, do you identify as an Afrikaans speaker or not? There's a difference between your mother tongue, your home language, your first language. We're very woke about these things, you know. You can, you need to ask the right questions to people, and depending on what they answer, that's okay, the way they answer. It's about what you identify as. And that's, in my mind, a unique position in the world. Perhaps not unique, but a very strong example in the world of bilingualism.
Quite a few questions, quite a few examples coming. Professor Gerrit van Heysen, I want you to stay on the line. 021-446-0567. You can drop me a WhatsApp, 072-567-1567. Professor Gerrit van Heysen is a professor of Afrikaans and Dutch linguistics at Northwest University, currently undergoing a study along with the University of Vienna about how bilingualism affects on the emotions of people who hear swear words. And does it make any difference to you of hearing a swear word that's not in your home language? Apparently, if you were to drop a swear word, if your home language is, your primary language is English, it's far easier for you to drop a curse word in Afrikaans. But let's have a quick musical interlude. Bringing you the Dutch, the Nederlandse sensation, Melchior, and his song, Onze Bus is Weg.
Onze bus is weg. Waar is Miepie gebleven?
Of course, very funny in South Africa, but Dutch, Dutch. I'm sure you're very familiar with Melchior. The Dutch teen sensation there.
Lester, I've heard that song, of course, so many times, but to hear it on a radio station.
Because it's Dutch, it's Nederlands, it's Prati Nederlands here up Cape Talk.
That is so funny, it's very funny. And to hear, you know, when I'm in Holland and I hear them talk on the radio of, you know, just in the news, the people were upset about the honde poep. In the street, you know, I'm like, people, stop. You can't say that over the radio. And that's, of course, a very other interesting phenomenon is how Dutch swear words change their meaning in Afrikaans. I mean, the P word is one of them. Poep is another one. I can go on. Almost all Dutch swear words changed in Afrikaans. And because of this interaction between different languages in a country far away from that European country.
A quick voice note, Gerard.
Hi, good morning, Lester and your team. Floris here from Worcester. Lester, yeah, I think, why is the phrase, yeah, you're talking shit, a little bit more acceptable than the Afrikaans one? Jamie Nico Lupin.
A double car middle eye, I think Floris means the. Why is it for some people easier to say S-H-I-T instead of double car middle R?
Yeah. So, and again, I think it depends. So there are two things here. It depends on what your mother tongue here is. I can't swear in front of my mom, but I think I can say in front of her, I had a shit day. I get a shitty dag gehad. And I think it will be okay. I can definitely not say to her, I get a cock dag gehad. So that's the one. The other one that people often think, and not enough investigation has been done, but is that Afrikaans sounds much harsher. So cock is short, explosive, short, plosive sounds. You know, and shirt is just, it's softer on the ear, you know. So that sound symbolism there, the feeling of the word might play a difference on why shit is sort of more acceptable, but guck not.
Gosh, you're going to get me into a lot of trouble today, Gerard.
Sorry, Lester.
That's fine. My friend Lester used the word balls quite a lot. Dorner and Blixen were just weather to me. Balls were just a tennis ball to her, and it's very embarrassing. So, yeah, that could also be a good example of how one's mother tongue and what you associate certain. Well, like, oh, you know, I could very well see balls being used as some sort of derogatory fashion, but for other people, it is simply the practical use of the, of a round object that you sure. smack around or that you kick across the park.
And that, of course, is the at the heart of many stand-up comedians, is that they use the ordinary sense of the word, and then they sort of activate that double entendre. They activate that, and that creates a laugh. Now, if you say, a vrou is gisteravond in die park gesteek, and it's in a news article, you know, then she was probably stabbed with a knife. Now you can sort of play on that by activating the other meaning of steek. And that ambiguation function of language is also comes into play when you're talking about bilinguals, of course.
The poor people who are sewers, eh? Who sew, and you work for the company Elna.
Exactly them.
You can say it. You're the academic, yeah.
Yes. So, and of course, and the example of nai illustrates for us how a word can also lose its primary meaning. You know, you will in
that's fascinating.
Not use nigh really without a twinkle in your eye, because the primary meaning of that has now moved away from the original meaning of doing sewing work, etc., etc.
Do words also migrate to simply becoming sounds? And I say this with without, you know, falling foul of any commandments and any laws against blasphemy, but for me, my entire life, the word yesus had no meaning besides almost a puff of exasperation through, you know, the of my mouth, until I married an Afrikaans, Macy. And on my first evening visiting her family, I said yesus, which to me was just almost like a heave of a chest, yesus. But to her family, being Afrikaans, the word yesus had a very, very different meaning. Words can evolve to almost simply just be sounds, but still have this very important cultural context.
Exactly. And Leicester, so Jesus is still strong because you can sort of, you know, for let's say for a linguist, the correlation between Jesus and Jesus is still strong. Now you move one step away, Jesse. Ek was daarom verbaas geweest, Jesse. Now it's suddenly very stronger. Now you get to just like.
Just
which is
like
almost it. An ordinary Afrikaans word that you can use in any context.
Mm.
But it comes from Jesus, right?
Yes.
And it's a way to avoid, it's a euphemism, it's a way to avoid that strong word. And now it just be, now it's just this interjection that you can just use almost in any context without any problem. And that I think that's what you then say. It loses that original meaning of it, and now it's only used as a sort of a onschuldige tussenvoegsel. You know,
Gerard, you're a professor of Afrikaans and Nederlands at Northwest. But there are a few messages here, and I unfortunately don't understand comprehend or let alone speak an indigenous African language. But the listener here says this study will be extremely interesting to look into Xhosa and English with bilingual differences. It would be a KAK funny segment to have. In a multilingual South Africa, are we already looking into more than just what is funny or serious in English and Afrikaans, but into isiXhosa, isiZulu, other indigenous languages in South Africa?
Absolutely, Lester. And as I said, we're starting now with Afrikaans and English because they are such good examples of bilinguals. But of course, if you think about a Xhosa speaker who can also speak Zulu as with mother tongue perfection, they are much better bilinguals, actually, than Afrikaans and English people. So we definitely have to move the study into that direction as well, and not only swear words from Afrikaans and English into these languages or the other way around, but, of course, also what words did Setswana take from isiZulu, for example. You know, that interaction, I think, will be fascinating to look at. And of course, the whole Khoi history and what we got from them, and especially the people in Namaqualand and so on, you know, and again, not only Afrikaans, but with the indigenous languages as well.
Die Plek van Springbok has the best swear words in the whole country. Professor Gerard van Huysteen, vloek.co.za, is that where you're primarily collecting your questionnaire data from? Where do people go and participate?
Yes, please. So we pinned the post at the top of the vloek.co.za. If they can go there and please complete the questionnaire, we would be grateful forever and for everyone helping us to understand our nation and our vloek word in our nation better. Thank you.
Professor Gerard van Huysteen, Professor of Afrikaans and Dutch Linguistics at Northwest University, is also going to be my material academic witness at my HR meeting in a few days' time, 28 minutes to 9 o'clock.